This chapter 25, and we're gonna look at that. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Exodus 25, verse 23. God had instructed Moses, and this was the Lord giving his instructions to him, to Moses, and he said, then make a table. And there's other stuff in there before this about the Ark of the Covenant and whatnot. Now he's talking about the table. Then make a table of acacia wood, 36 inches long, 18 inches wide, and 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold and run a gold molding around the edge. Place the bread of the presence, in verse 30, place the bread of the presence on the table to remain before me at all times. The bread of the presence. I normally don't like to talk about food at church until the end. But today, I don't care if you're hungry. I don't mean that hatefully, okay? You'll understand as we get into this some more. But I want to, I did that because, you know, we have more than one sense, right? We see things. I usually have some scriptures on the screen. This morning I have this table set up. I know this is not the same size as the table that I just read about. But for space, and I don't have any gold to put on it anyway. So on the table, there was a few things on the table. There was supposed to be a gold pitcher and some cups. Those were for pouring out drink offerings to the Lord on this table that we just read about. And then these are made out of unleavened bread. These are bread loaves, and they're flat, not like we're used to, right? But and normally there was on the table, they kept this bread on the table all the time, as it said, and there was typically apparently traditionally there was six on each side, six loaves on each stack, representing the 12 different tribes of Israel. And we wanted to just kind of point that out to you. This was in the holy place in the tabernacle, just outside of the most holy place, okay? The sacrifices were made, the animal sacrifices were made outside of the tabernacle, outside of the holy place, and that was outside there in the near the altar. And this morning, I'm focusing on the bread this morning. This bread symbolizes three things. This bread that was before the Lord always, right? So when it would get bad, the priest would remove it and put fresh bread out. So there was always bread there. But we need to want to point out a couple of things that this bread symbolizes. Of course, today begins November. We have a holiday in November, right? Called Thanksgiving. Most of the time I shy away from preaching about Thanksgiving in November because the reason for that in my brain is because we ought to be thankful in January, February, March. Help me out. What's next? All of them, right? We want to be thankful to the Lord always, not just in November near Thanksgiving. But at the same time, it is a good time for us to make sure that we're focusing on that. This is one of those things. This bread right here was a symbol to the people of Israel, and today it's a symbol for us to help us to comprehend that, hey, God's our supplier. God is the one who provides. Everything that we have comes from him, and we do well to even ask him. Also, the bread represents communion with God. Excuse me, we're going to look at some of these things today as we kind of bounce through Scripture. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples came to him and said, hey, Jesus, would you, you know what, John taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? What a great question, right? Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? What better teacher? And Jesus gave kind of a pattern, right? It's not, I really don't believe that we're to just quote that all the time and then that's our prayer. I think that we can use that as a pattern and even go beyond that and be more specific in areas. And so he gives us a pattern. And in one of those lines in there in verse 11, he says, he's throwing this out to the disciples, trying to help them to understand how they should be praying. And he says, give us today the food we need. Raise your hand if you ate breakfast this morning. Not everybody. That's probably the one meal that folks skip, if we skip any. But Jesus helped us to understand that we helped us to recognize that God the Father is the one who provides for us. It also is a request for God to continue to provide. Do you see that in that prayer? He's helping us to recognize that God's the one who provides and supplies. Now let me also add, that doesn't mean that we sit on our backsides and never do anything, right? Paul said in the New Testament, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. I don't think that's that when we just sit around and expect God to do everything for us, there's many things that we can't do on our own anyway, right? We need him to do. But there's also your part. So I think that we do well to do our part and believe God for his part. And so Jesus was teaching, and in this statement, he's saying, hey, we recognize that God is the one who provides for us. But in it, he's also saying, continue to ask the Father to provide. It's okay to ask for him to do that. God, give us what we need today. Give us that food that we need today. And we learn to trust in him. In Matthew chapter 4, but Jesus told him, this is when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. The devil said Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil said, you got to be hungry, knowing that, right? Hey, look, there's some rocks. You can turn those into bread. And this was Jesus' response. No, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now Jesus kind of turns it on us, doesn't he? Because you know what? We need to eat, don't we? Gives us some sustenance. Helps us to continue on. Sometimes when you haven't eaten in a while and you're working hard and your body just starts to wear down and you can't keep going, right? But Jesus helps us to understand that we don't just live by bread, physical bread. We don't just live by that. He said, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live not only by bread. While we need that, Jesus is saying that's not all that we need, right? And I'm talking to most of the people in here, you understand this already. I'm trying to highlight it this morning and focus in on that we need to eat, we need physical bread, but there really is so much more, because physical bread is only one part. Matter of fact, many of you already know, we're made up of three components. We're made up of body, we're made up of spirit, and we're made up of soul. Body, that's pretty obvious. Our physical body, our fingers, our toes, the muscles, the tissue, the organs. But you know what? This isn't going to last forever, is it? It's not going to last forever. It can't. It's perishable. The soul would be our mind, will, and emotions. Bread doesn't always do much for that. It can help. When you get tired, when you get hungry, sometimes your brain stops working as good. But your spirit really doesn't have anything to do with bread or that kind of nourishment. We have need of food, but church, we have more need of spiritual food. We must recognize that. And notice, really, I think one of the things that Jesus was saying in this verse was that we are completely designed to have a relationship with the Lord. He's saying, hey, yeah, you need bread, But we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by that only. There's more to life than that bread that the enemy was using to tempt him. We live by so much more than that. Yeah, we have to eat, but there's more, church. And unfortunately, many only focus on their physical health, which will, again, only last so long. Paul wrote to his protege in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, physical training is good. So I'm not coming against physical training. I'm not coming against keeping your body healthy. But he said, hey, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. This isn't on the screen. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So did you hear that? So when we train our body physically, and it's not wrong, Paul didn't say it was wrong, he said it's good. But he said, but if we will train ourselves spiritually, then that will benefit us both now, because then we'll be more like Jesus and be greater to one another, treat each other the way we ought to, and then there's benefit in the life to come. Amen? Yeah, because then you get to go to heaven. If we're not born of God, then we won't get to go to heaven. And so we have to understand that there's more than just the body. But that's something that we oftentimes forget about. People in our world they can't see past that many times. But check out what Jesus says. He changes it. He kind of turns it again here in John chapter 6, verse 33. Before I read this, kind of give you the background. Earlier in John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Okay? He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. So it could have been even 15,000 people. With little. Even if it was 5,000, even if it was 1,000, I'm impressed. Even if it's 100, I'm impressed. But 5,000 men Jesus fed with a few to begin with. And so then the people were following Jesus. He had gone to pray. The disciples went somewhere else, and Jesus had gone to get alone with the Lord, the Father, and the folks, the people, the crowd was searching for him, and they found him. And when they found him, they asked him a question, and he responds to me. He didn't even respond to the question. He says, you all are only following me because I fed you. You only want to hang around me because I fed you. Think about that for a second. What he was saying was, you only want to be around me for what I can do for you. You don't want me. Oh my. I hope you're hearing that today. That's why for years I've prayed a prayer like this. Some of you have heard it before. I know I've shared it before. Father, let us be blessed with your hand, the blessings of your hand, but not only those blessings. Let us know your heart too. Something along those lines. Do you see the difference? It's not wrong to receive blessings from the Lord, but if that's all that we seek, then we're in error, because then we're not seeking him. And that was what Jesus said. Go back and check it out earlier before verse 33 there. Go check that out. Jesus said, hey, you guys only want to be with me because I fed you. Is that wrong? Well, not necessarily, but it was the lesser of the two halves. So it wouldn't really be half. He's saying, you need me. And he goes on to explain that. So let's look. In verse 27, it's not on the screen, Jesus said, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Bread, the bread that you're smelling. If your tummy growls, I'm sorry. A little bit. A little. But I kind of want you to, I'm going to be honest, I want you to feel hungry today for some food. If those rolls might be okay, you might be able to get one. There's not enough for all of you. Sorry. So we'll have an arm wrestling match later, whoever wins and have a roll. Excuse me. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy, listen to this, Spend your energy. I'm sorry, this one's not on the screen. We'll go back to verse 33. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Jesus is turning everything upside down on them. He said, you guys were so thrilled with the bread that I gave you earlier. Yesterday, it was the day before. You're so excited about that bread that I gave you. There's more. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about that kind of thing. Instead, he's saying, hey, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I can give you, that the Son of Man can give you. Now, see, he's bringing up something that they would have known, a term they would have understood growing up. But then Jesus, he relates the bread. He multiplied the previous day to the bread of God. The bread, this bread of God, comes from God and gives life to the world. Look what he says, verse 33. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Okay? He's painting the picture. He's setting the stage. Guys, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven. Where does the bread of God come from? From heaven. It comes from God. And what does it do? It gives life to everybody, to the world, the whole world. That's exciting to me. The next verse, we're going to skip one and go to verse 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. You see, he's tying it together. He set the stage. He's tying it together. I am the bread of life. He said, remember, he just used, yeah, the Son of Man. That's me, guys. That's me, he was saying to that crowd. That they're not just a few people. There's a crowd of folks wanting to see what Jesus was going to do next. If he just fed 5,000 people with next to nothing, what's he going to do next? Wow, this is exciting, right? But Jesus was saying, hey, it goes a lot deeper than that, guys. It goes a lot deeper than that. I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Of course, Jesus was referring to himself in the earlier verse, but now he makes it plain to his followers, I'm the bread of life. I came from heaven and I give life to the world, to anyone in the world that believes in me. And I believe that this statement has to do with knowing the one who is the source of life. Not that we will never have to come to him again. Okay, he says here that we won't, in verse 35, that we won't be hungry again. I don't believe that he's saying that we won't have to come to him again. I think the meaning of that is we will understand who the source is, right? We won't have to keep searching. We won't have to keep, okay, where's the next meal? How do I get refreshed? Jesus is the one who satisfies. And it's not that we come to him at one time when we responded to a salvation message and we came to an altar and we gave our heart to Jesus and we never come back to him. That's not salvation. Jesus said, follow me, not respond one time and forget me. Right? That's not salvation. That's not living for him. That was the very first step. And then some people give up on the rest of the journey. Wrong answer. We've got to follow him. We've got to seek him. We've got to know him. He's saying, whoever believes in me, whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Because they'll know that I'm their source. They'll know that I'm the one that is their bread. And I am the one that is the living water. Amen? We come to him. And I think that it's important to come to him daily. Jesus went to the Father all the time. He had just done that. And the people finally found him. They were looking for him. Where'd you go? I needed to spend some time with the Father. That's a good lesson for us. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Verse 51. We're going to skip some more verses. Jesus again said, I am the living bread. Living bread. Have you ever seen living bread? I guess technically the yeast is alive probably until it gets in the oven. Jesus is the living bread. This stuff's just gonna mold if I leave it out too long, right? If we don't consume it, it'll just mold and perish. Kind of like the manna did. Remember the manna? Said that was from heaven. They weren't to keep it until tomorrow. Tomorrow it would have maggots in it. Still hungry? Jesus said, I'm the living bread. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread I will offer so the world may live. This bread is my flesh. And we know that. We take of Holy Communion, and we understand that. The Lord's Supper, we did it last Sunday. Otherwise, I would have done it this morning. We know that that cracker, that bread, represents the body of Jesus. And trying to put this all together, this bread stayed before the Father all the time. In the Old Testament pattern, right? Which was a pattern of what it was in heaven, wasn't the exact thing. Excuse me. Jesus says, I'm the living bread. That this points, he's pointing to communion. But I'm proposing that it also points backwards and as a fulfillment of the bread of the presence. I believe Jesus, the bread of the presence, was to point the people, even back then, toward Christ. That hey, there's somebody coming, somebody special. And you don't just come to him. You don't just ask him for what he can do. You want to come to him because he is important and he is special and he is amazing. And let us pursue him. Let us seek him. Let us seek his presence in our life. To eat this eternal living bread means to accept Christ and be united with him. We are united with Christ by believing in his death and resurrection and by committing ourselves to him and follow him. So to accept Jesus as our living bread and to partake of him means to be united with him and to follow him. It's very, very simple. It can sound very complicated in our brains, but really it's very, very simple. Eating his flesh also points to Holy Communion, points to what do we do when we have somebody over? We have a meal together most of the time, don't we? Which reminds us of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, behold, or look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Or I'll come in and sup with you. We'll eat together. Again, that's what we do. We eat a meal together when we want to have somebody over to get to know them, to talk with them, to visit with them, to commune with them, right? Do you see how the bread of the presence was pointing to Jesus the whole time and pointing to God's provision in the people's lives and pointing to a relationship, communion with God? That bread was supposed to be there all the time. That bread was supposed to be there. And it was a symbol of them communing with God, them being close with God, having an intimate and personal relationship with him. I remember when I, years ago, when I went to Argentina on a missions trip, their culture was very, very interesting. And you would not go up to, in that culture, you would not go up to a door and knock on the door. At the house, at the building, they had a fence around their property and a gate. You would go to the gate and you'd clap like this. That was your knock on the door. And so they'd hear that and they'd kind of like, hey, is that my gate? And they'd come out and then, you know, hey, they saw that we were Americans, wanted to see what we were up to. And so we were wanting to tell them about Jesus. So they'd invite us into the home and we'd sit down and they would share some herbal tea with us. And pass it around. And we got to just visit and listen. They got to ask questions. We got to ask questions about them because we were interested in their culture and their life. And You see the picture? This meal represents a closeness with the Lord. It represents us wanting to be with Him and learning who He is. And you can only do that. You can't get so much out of sermons as you can being with Him. You just can't. You just can't. Now, those things can help and aid that, but it's not the full deal. So, let's see here. Another scripture I want to take you to is 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. In relating to the bread always being in the presence of the Father, of God, the Almighty. 1 John 2, verse 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Do you see how that can relate to the bread of the presence? The bread was always to be in front of the Lord, always to be there. When it got bad, they were supposed to not just take it out, but take that out and replace it. And Jesus, for you and I, is that advocate. Kind of paints a scene as a courtroom, doesn't it? Jesus is the one saying, "Oh no, Your Honor, hang on. They're with me. They're with me. John's with me. Gina's with me. I've got them covered." And He pleads our case before the Father. Isn't that awesome? The bread was always to be before God Almighty in the tabernacle. Jesus is before, and Romans tells us that he's there at God's right hand, always pleading for us, making intercession for us. You thankful for that today? Yes. You know what? Because even once we gave our life to Jesus, we messed up here and there, didn't we? And we might still do that. That's not a license, that's not an excuse, but we're saying, hey, that's why John wrote that verse. So that we understood, hey, that's not our goal. Our goal is to become more and more like Jesus. But if we do mess up, we have somebody in our corner. We have somebody on our team, and He's fighting for us, and He's pleading before us, before the Father. Check this out. As again, back to God's provision in our life. This is again, November, the month we celebrate and give thanks to God, which I think we ought to do daily, mind you. But check this verse out, Romans 8:32. Paul writes, "Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else or anything else that we need? If He gave us His one and only Son, wouldn't He give us anything else that we need?" The answer is yes. Believe Him for it. Believe God for what you need. He will provide. He will provide. This morning, my wife's going to play. I would like us to stand. If you want to come to the altar, the altars are always open, by the way. I think I've said that before. It might have been a little while. But truly, the altars are always open. I want us to just seek the Lord and give Him some praise today. And you know, again, I made the point a while ago. Well, Jesus made the point. Hey, some of those people that had watched Him do the miracle of feeding the 5,000, remember? Jesus responded and said, "Hey guys, you're only coming here because you think I'm going to do something cool again. You're only interested in stuff that's of now and of you." He's saying, "Come deeper. Come deeper." Let's thank God for His provision today. Because, man, there could be a lot of things in your life that you're thankful for. A lot of things that God has provided for you. A lot. And He provided Jesus. I like the term bread of the presence. It was to be before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the presence of God. Did anybody get hungry smelling that bread this morning? Shucks. but I did it so that you would get hungry, so you could recognize and make the connection in your brain. Listen, we want to get out of church and we're going to go eat something for lunch, and that's okay. But have you eaten yet today of the Lord? Have you eaten yet today of the presence of the Lord, the bread of his presence? Have you eaten today? The altars are going to be open. We're going to celebrate. We're going to give God some praise. We're going to worship him. Listen, we got all kinds of time. You don't have anywhere to be that's that important just yet. So hang on. Why don't you come up and join me? We're going to worship the Lord. Emily's going to lead us in some songs. Just pour out your heart to him.